From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his first message in a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. The focus in this message is the Gospel of Matthew, where Christ is portrayed as Israel's promised king. A unique feature of this gospel is the emphasis upon the kingdom of heaven. Dr. Cairns has stressed that the kingdom of heaven includes both Jews and Gentiles. In this gospel, both John the Baptist and Christ laid great emphasis upon repentance, a necessary step in the salvation of sinners. The meaning of the kingdom has been a subject of some controversy over the years. Essentially, it is the reign of Christ, both on earth and in heaven. It is by preaching the Word of God that the meaning of the kingdom is made clear. And in just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue his exposition of Matthew's Gospel under the title, Christ the King of Israel. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook as written by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Truth Established. The text is found in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Truth wears well. Time tests it, but it right well endures the trial. If then I have spoken the truth and have for the present to suffer for it, I must be content to wait. If also I believe the truth of God and endeavor to declare it, I may meet with much opposition, but I need not fear, for ultimately the truth must prevail. What a poor thing is the temporary triumph of falsehood! A lying lip is but for a moment. It is a mere gourd which comes up in a night and perishes in a night, and the greater its development, the more manifest its decay. On the other hand, how worthy of an immortal being is the avowal and defense of that truth which can never change, the everlasting gospel, which is established in the immutable truth of an unchanging God. An old proverb says, He that speaks truth shames the devil. Assuredly, he that speaks the truth of God will put to shame all the devils in hell and confound all the seed of the serpent which now hiss out their falsehoods. O my heart, take care that thou be in all things on the side of truth, both in small things and great, but specially on the side of him by whom grace and truth have come among men. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you've written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we thank you for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email or by regular mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Don't be like the Pharisees. The Pharisees rejoiced that they were in that nation that God said would be a nation, a kingdom of priests. They had all the advantages of the kingdom. Jesus called them in Matthew chapter 8, the children of the kingdom. They were born into the nation. They were born under the shadow of biblical truth. But all they had was a physical, external relationship to revealed religion. They had no personal relationship to God. And Jesus Christ, in Matthew 23, has that great series of woes. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You know the Pharisees today? They've got a bad press in most churches. I have to say, in many cases, they have even been caricatured. But if you could wipe out all the prejudice that has been built up against the Pharisees by what preachers have said about them, if Mr. Pharisee were to arrive in just about any church in America, he would be welcomed as the greatest saint imaginable. But Jesus says, it's all on the outside. Your heart is in rebellion against God. Don't be like the Pharisees under the woe and the wrath of God by remaining an enemy of the king. Now, I've been using the term kingdom. So it's time, having looked at the manifestation of the king and the message of the kingdom, that we think a little more narrowly of the meaning of the kingdom. Now, I'm going to have to squeeze a lot of stuff together here. But let me make three statements and quickly run through them. You turn to this Gospel of Matthew, the preaching of the kingdom expounds the meaning of the kingdom of heaven. Then in chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount 5, 6, and 7, the principles of the kingdom explain the meaning of the kingdom of heaven. And then in the chapters that follow, where you've got the great miracles of Christ, the power of the kingdom expresses the meaning in the clearest possible terms. Now, the preaching of the kingdom expounds what we mean by the kingdom of heaven. It was preached both by Jesus and by John. And when the Lord Jesus set out, we read in chapter 4, verse 23, he preached what he called the gospel of the kingdom. According to Mr. Schofield, that, of course, is a unique gospel. It's different from the gospel we preach. According to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, it is exactly the same gospel as the gospel we preach. So you can take your pick as to who you believe, but I have no doubt that Dr. Schofield missed the boat and Paul was inspired of God. The gospel of the kingdom is the gospel emphasizing the kingly office and work and demands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, people get worried and they get all mixed up about this, and I can't really say I blame them. Because when you turn to the Gospel of Matthew, and indeed many other parts of Scripture, you find that there is a difficulty. Some scriptures speak of the gospel as now, or the kingdom as now present. For instance, in chapter 4 of Matthew in verse 17, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the whole idea is of a present kingdom. In chapter 12 and verse 28, Jesus said, if I with the finger of God cast out these devils, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. It's present. But then in other scriptures, it speaks of the kingdom as future. When Jesus told us to pray, he said, thy kingdom come. So let it come. It's still future. In Matthew 25, 34, he looks to the end of the age where he gathers his people and he says, come and inherit the kingdom. So it's still future. So how do you put it all together? What is the kingdom? Who is in the kingdom? When is the kingdom? Those are vital questions. Now, by a kingdom, you normally mean a territory.
a realm.
And it has that meaning in Scripture. In Colossians 1 and verse 13, for instance, he's brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his own dear Son. He has brought us out of one into another. There is the idea of a realm. In Matthew 19, it's a very interesting thing if you compare verse 16 with verse 23, that in the one you have the kingdom, the rich young ruler comes and he asks, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord Jesus says to his disciples when that young man turned away, how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. Eternal life in verse 16 means the kingdom in verse 23. So it is a realm in which God's people enjoy eternal life. But that's not the basic meaning of it. When the psalmist, for instance, said, his kingdom ruleth over all, what does he mean? Well, he's using the word, and you'll find this, I'm sure, in a Webster's dictionary. And if Webster's not good enough, let me encourage you to go right back to the pristine source of the English language and use an Oxford dictionary. And you'll find it, that this is what they now call an archaic use of the word. But this is the New Testament meaning of the word. That it is the rule or the sovereignty exercised by the king. That's the kingdom. It is the king's rule or sovereignty. And that tells you immediately what the kingdom is, and then it tells you who is in it. Who is in this kingdom? Remember, the kingdom is the realm of those who have been translated out of darkness and redeemed by blood, Colossians 1:14. Then it is the realm of those who have come into eternal life, having left all, set aside every hindrance, turned away from what they know to be sin, to crown Christ King of their lives. They're the people who are in the kingdom. And if you want to put it even more simply, the people who recognize in their own lives the personal sovereignty of Jesus Christ, who are ruled by Christ, they and they alone are in the kingdom. Now, I want to tell you that's a very, very exclusive statement. The rich young ruler appeared a prime candidate to the disciples. He was rich. He was law-abiding. He could look the Son of God in the face and say, I have kept the law from my youth up. And he thought he had. He didn't know anything about the spirituality of the law, as the Puritans call it. In other words, he didn't know anything of the law in the heart. He thought, well, if I do this, and this, and this, he didn't need to worry about the internal motions of the heart. Well, the Lord Jesus disabused him, but to the disciples, here was a lovely young man. He had everything. He appeared a prime candidate for heaven. But Jesus said, that man loves his money more than he loves me. That man would serve his money better than he would ever serve me. His devotion to me would be contingent upon keeping his money and all that it gives. Whereas I am saying, when a man comes to me, he comes with everything open. I am his king. We were singing that hymn this morning. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Thou art the king. I am the subject. Thou art the ruler. I am the ruled. And I want to tell you, those are the people who are in the kingdom. There's another sense in which he is king, no matter what you or I think. God is king. Christ is sovereign. He's going to have his way. Atheists and Pharisees and Romanists and Protestants and nations of every tribe and tongue. They're all subject to the ultimate sovereignty of God. But they don't all benefit from being citizens of the kingdom. Many of them are under the rule of God as rebels. Are you in the kingdom? I want you to think of that today. Take it personally. Am I in the kingdom of God's grace in Christ? It's not enough to be in the Presbyterian Church or the Free Presbyterian Church or the Baptist Church or the Brethren Church or any other church. I've often told you if you could lift the lid off hell, you would see people from every one of them lost for all eternity. Are you in the kingdom? What the kingdom is, who's in it, and when it will be. It is present. The kingdom of God is among you, Jesus said. It's here and now. In the sense that we are now under his rule. We are now the recipients of his grace. We are now delivered from the power of sin and Satan. We are now walking in the light. We are now in fellowship with God. We are now justified. Paul says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is righteousness. It is peace. It is joy in the Holy Ghost. Those are things that we now have. The righteousness of justification. The peace of reconciliation. The joy of glorious exaltation in Jesus Christ. I tell you, my friend, the kingdom is now. But the kingdom is yet to come. Why? Because the King is coming. Somebody wrote a hymn about that in the last 20 years. Actually, it gets a little mixed up in its theology, and it's more nice words than having any particular meaning. But the first time I heard it, I have to be honest, I didn't think through all the theology of what he was saying or the self-contradictory notions that he was putting into his words. I heard a man with a tremendous voice and then backed up by a great choir, and they were singing, "The King is coming!" And my, that swept my heart away. And I have to say that I have never forgotten the thrill of the realization afresh, the King is coming. And I want to tell you, it's only when the King comes that the kingdom, the future kingdom, is realized. You've an awful lot of rubbish talked about people who are going to build the kingdom on earth. The liberals talked about it. Some post-millennial brethren talked about it. They were going to build the kingdom of God by what they did. This is no mere humanistic heaven. The kingdom is submission to the rule of Christ, and then entrance into the presence of Christ, and then Christ himself coming to rule in the world. So the preaching of the kingdom expounds what we mean by it.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.